It's Wednesday afternoon, and we are already halfway to the weekend, and it is Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a nice long holiday weekend for many of you. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon. Once again, a lot to talk about, and we continue remembering Katrina 20 years later, and even the sad stories bring us some happiness because of how we resolved many, many difficult situations and because of where we are today. And in many, many ways, I think we're a better city today than we were before Katrina. So we'll continue that. We sadly have to talk about another school shooting, this time at a Catholic school in Minneapolis. Two children are dead and 17 are injured, 14 children and three adults injured, some of them critically. Injured in the hospital, obviously. And this was a gunman who pulled up to this Catholic school and started shooting while the children were in the church praying. It was an all-school mass, the third day of the new school year. And this gunman, somebody in their 20s, we've just heard a little bit about the gunman. No motive is known yet, but It's always interesting to find out what the motive is, because none of this makes any sense to me, to you, to anybody who is logical or is a rational thinker. None of this makes any sense. And I guess the gunman did us all a favor by just killing himself, although it would have been nice to know what motivated him to do this. It's so sad, and you know, some people are just driven to the point of acting on their anger. I'm angry about things. You get angry about things. We all get angry about things. It's kind of like the last 2 days I was talking about road rage and how, you know, we all rage a little bit when we're in traffic or somebody does something, and we do rage inside, but you can't act on it. You can have that rage. It's a human reaction, but you can't act on it. But there are a few people out there that can't stop those intrusive thoughts from becoming reality. They can't stop themselves from acting on their anger. And for somebody in their 20s to want to just waste their life, their life is over, to decide that in your 20s you want to kill some people and then kill yourself. It's hard to understand that kind of thinking. But yet, today is proof that there are people who actually think that way. We'll update you on any information that we get. It's truly a tragic and sad situation. And, you know, here we go again with another school shooting. And this one in particular is troubling because of the visual concept of children being shot while they're praying in a church. Praying in a church should be a safe place. Praying in a church should maybe be the ultimate a safe place, but it's not. And then people wonder, well, how could God allow this to happen? I mean, these children were innocent, and they're in this pristine, innocent surrounding of a church, and they're shot and killed or injured, some critically. How does God allow this to happen? We don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Anybody who thinks they know the answer, they don't know the answer. Whatever they think the answer is, that's not the answer. We just don't know what the answer is. But these things happen, and many of us turn to God to comfort us and help us through these times. And the mayor of Minneapolis was just rejecting the idea of thoughts and prayers, because it seems like that's an easy thing to talk about, and it's something that people say. When they say that, do they actually pray? Their thoughts are certainly with the victims and those die or those who are injured and the families left behind, but do they really actually say a prayer? And it's easy to say thoughts and prayers and then move on, but I think what he was saying is we need a lot more than thoughts and prayers, and we need to figure this out. The sad thing is, I don't know that we're going to figure this out. I don't know when it happened. It was gradual. But at some point, our society, the American society as it is today, and I'm not just talking about within the last 5 or 10 years. You know, this has been developing for, you know, at least 20 years, maybe longer. But we have evolved into a society that somehow gives people permission to manifest their anger by killing people. And I know you and I are not involved in granting that permission, but somehow society in general has given people the idea that it's okay to act on your anger. Whatever you're angry about, whatever you're frustrated about, it's okay to act on that. And that even means going and shooting up a school. So again, it's a horrible tragedy. You know, when we talk about this tragedy today, when we're remembering a tragedy 20 years ago, Hurricane Katrina. All right, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to have some great memories with Kermit Ruffins coming up in just a few minutes here on the show. President Trump is involved in a lot of controversial things right now. He's obsessed with his looks. He's obsessed with a lot of things that I don't think a president of the United States should be obsessed with. We may get to some of that later. The White House has now seized control. I love the way this headline reads. Trump White House seizes control of D.C.'s Union Station from Amtrak, taking control of the train station from Amtrak. And yesterday on the show, we talked about the Hollywood Reporter's list of the 25 best, greatest sports movies of all time. And with the help of the audience, we revised that list and came up with a final 25 greatest sports movies list. And I posted a blog, and there's a segment from the show yesterday where I read the full list. If you missed it, you can go to our website, WWL.com. I think it's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook. You can check it out there. But check it out at WWL.com and go to that section of our show where I read the entire list. But I think it's a good list, much more accurate than those crazy liberals in Hollywood in the list that they came up with. Okay, so Cracker Barrel changes its image, and there's so much backlash. And President Trump actually had the idea yesterday, hey, why don't you just go back to the original? Well, Cracker Barrel's going back to the original logo and the original image of the restaurant. They were changing, apparently, to refresh the brand and to attract new and younger customers. But that failed, and there are estimates that their stock value lost, market value lost $143 million in changing the logo and trying to change the image of Cracker Barrel. I think it would take more than an image change. I think it would take more than changing the logo and changing the inside to attract new and younger customers. I think those people who love Cracker Barrel, and they're going to always go there and be loyal. I don't know if Cracker Barrel was losing money, and that inspired them to try to refresh the brand. I tried to find some information on that before the show, and I couldn't find it. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I wasn't able to find it. But they certainly made a big mistake, and we'll talk a little bit about that on the show later today. So President Trump is saying that MSNBC is real scum and that MSNBC is worse than gangs that he has considered to be terror organizations. See, I think that's a bit of a stretch, and if we get to that, we'll talk about that this afternoon. You know, I want to tell you that the other day when President Trump talked about these fish in the Great Lakes jumping into boats, I'm thinking, oh, this is just another wacky thing President Trump is saying. So I looked it up, and he's right. There are these invasive carp. They're from China. They're Asian carp. I guess they're from China, but they're Asian carp. And I saw a video of a boat traveling through like schools of these carp, and the numbers are massive, and they're all jumping as the boat goes through the school. They're all jumping, and some of them actually jumped in the boat. So it seemed like one of those wacky things that President Trump was saying, but I looked it up, and he's actually right about that. Charlie Kirk is a conservative MAGA host and a real, real strong Trump supporter. He has some advice for the newly engaged Taylor Swift. Charlie Kirk says that Taylor Swift should, quote, submit to her husband. Do these people really still exist in the world? I mean, I guess they do. I posted a video about this yesterday on Scoot on the Air Facebook, and some of the comments are kind of interesting. Anyway, you can view that video and place a comment there, and I'll try to get to some of your comments later. But it's hard to believe that in 2025 there are people who exist that think that wives should be submissive to their husbands. I mean, that is a very antiquated, sexist, misogynistic train of thought. But yet there are guys like Charlie Kirk who believe that. He also thinks that marriage and having children changes you. I agree with him on that. Marriage and having children does change you. Charlie Kirk is saying, though, that maybe Taylor Swift, who is perceived as being very liberal, she's liberal, I don't know how liberal she is, but she's perceived as being very liberal. President Trump has hated her. And he's hoping, Charlie Kirk is hoping, that getting married and having kids makes Taylor Swift into a conservative. He's hoping that that happens. I mean, I agree that marriage and having kids changes you, but I don't know if it changes your core political beliefs. I don't know. Maybe for some people it does. We'll try to have that conversation later, but we do have a lot to get to. Kermit Ruffins is going to join us this afternoon. Also, a singer, a songwriter, Ella Grace Francis is going to join us. A 16-year-old artist from Destrehand who has just been traveling all over. There's a big concert Friday night, Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's at the Orpheum. And it features Kermit, Irma Thomas, my friend Amanda Shaw, who at some point will join me on the show. And it's a big concert at the Orpheum Friday night. And we'll be talking more about that with Kermit Ruffins coming up here in just a few minutes. If at any time today you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right. The legendary, iconic Kermit Ruffins joins us next on WWL. You're hearing the legendary and iconic Kermit Ruffins. He certainly has memories like so many of you of Hurricane Katrina, and musicians were impacted by this in personal ways and in many professional ways as well. We continue remembering Hurricane Katrina 20 years later. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. And Kermit Ruffins joins us in the studio. Kermit, welcome to the show.
All aboard.
Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Started playing trumpet in the eighth grade. You're in junior high school in Treme.
Actually, at Lawless in the Lower Ninth Ward, where
Lower
I was born and raised.
Lower Ninth Ward, all right.
But I started the Rebirth in 82 in the Treme at Clark Senior High School, yes.
All right, so let's go back to you starting to play the trumpet. You know, like it was cool for, you know, people to play guitar, and you pick up the trumpet in the eighth grade. What drew you to the trumpet?
Well, the trumpet, my uncle Percy Williams, he plays with Irma Thomas now, and so my mom's younger brother, he would come to the house in the Lower Ninth Ward back there on Jordan Avenue and pull out that shiny trumpet almost every Saturday and put it in my hand. His trumpet was real shiny and clean and smelled good. My trumpet smells like beer. But anywho, that really drew me to it. And my grandfather, Kermit Ruffins, he was born in 1908, and he brought me my first trumpet. And I was in eighth grade, joined the marching band, march all the Mardi Gras parades, you know, caught that bus across the Industrial Canal every day to go to high school. And it's history from there.
Yeah, you said that Louis Armstrong was an influence for you.
Yeah, one of my biggest, for sure. You know, I think I was at a place called Mule's. Nice lunch spot. And I ordered a shrimp sandwich, and I played the jukebox. And I played When You're Smiling by Louis Armstrong. And I was convinced, I said, I never heard a trumpet sound that good. So I started watching all the black and white videos of Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and I just went crazy with that jazz to the point where I wanted to be Louis. And now there's an airport, Louis Armstrong International Airport. I just played his birthday the other day at the airport, and it's been the best ride ever. When I tell you, I'm 60 years old now, and I done have the time of my life and seen the world a few times.
You look great.
Oh, thank you. You look great.
Kermit, when you talk about that special sound of Louis Armstrong, I mean, you blow into a trumpet. Anybody can blow into a trumpet. What is it especially that Louis Armstrong did, and what is it that you try to do that makes the sound special?
Well, Louis' sound was always super happy, and it was the most, he played on the most technical technical ever. He played the most technical notes ever that today people can't even do.
Really?
I mean, I live his fun and joy of the music, but I'll never be able to play like that.
Wow, that's interesting because you know you hear a trumpet, you think people blow into the trumpet and it's all the same, but it's not.
No, indeed.
Yeah. So there's a big concert Friday night at the Orpheum Theater, Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's open to all ages. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 7 o'clock. And you are going to be a big part of this. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com. So let's think about your earliest memory of Katrina. And when did you know that things were really going wrong?
Yeah, I remember watching a Saints game in California in a van. But my piano player at that time, David Tolkanowski, and he had his phone up. So we were watching the game, and we were watching at the same time. There's a big storm coming to New Orleans. Now, we're flying home the next day. Then a storm came right after that. So I remember getting off the plane, going to Lowe's, boarding up the house, getting the family over at the house, and driving to Baton Rouge in a bunch of traffic. I mean, just hours before the storm hit. And then looking back at the TV, it just disastrous. I mean, to the point where my sister is a police officer, maybe 30 years. She's in the Superdome, and she's telling me stuff. And that's the hardest ship that I had. But I could only imagine anyone that was stuck here that didn't leave, which is impossible for everyone to leave.
Yeah.
So I really think about that a lot, especially coming up to the 20th anniversary. There's a lot going through the soul and the heart and mind of, I think, of every individual that's from New Orleans.
Do you find it helpful to think about how the city got through that and how individuals got through that? As tough, as difficult as that was, we got through it, and I personally think the city's better now than it was before Katrina.
Yeah, I think you always think about the families that had people that they lost, you know. It always goes back to that. Because my dad, we grew up in a lower ninth ward right there by Holy Cross, Jordan Avenue, all my life. And that was the first time my dad left. Because normally he'd be like, let's ride it out. And we've got pillows on the floors, we're laying down. Just riding the storm out, almost every storm that they had, except for Katrina. Me and my dad and everybody else, we got out. And I always go back to thinking about what if we would have stayed. We wouldn't be here, that's for sure. So my heart goes out to every family that had to suffer a loss. And it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. When you did your first gig after the storm, and after the disaster, there was still a lot of damage. But when you did your first gig, talk to me about how it felt to play your horn for the first time after the storm. Because what comes out of your horn is your soul, it's your heart, it's you. What did you feel like? What did you want to come out of your horn in that first gig after Katrina?
Well, it was a lot of joy, knowing that we're coming back. But at the same time, deep down in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you're thinking that it's going to be a long road. Because I came back with National Geographic maybe 20 days after and went to my home in the lower ninth ward and videoed. Because we were in Houston, and I videoed and went back and showed my dad and my mom and all the family the devastation of the of our home, the family home. So playing the horn just made it's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got people in the audience and everybody's crying and laughing and having fun at the same time. So, and it probably was at Vaughn's Lounge was my first gig back, because I was playing there every Thursday about 20 years.
So it was a moment of happiness to some degree, but then there was a reality that set in about what it was going to take to come back.
Yeah, you're on the stage, it's all, it feels good. Then you walk back outside, and you still could smell refrigerators that was left out, see debris everywhere. Yeah. And then when you drive through the city, some lights wasn't even on yet. I mean, of course. And I mean, because I got back maybe about 8 months after. So, and it still was a big mess, man. Big mess.
Kermit, when you saw your home in the lower Ninth Ward after you'd come back, what's a cherished memory that was lost?
I was a kid, maybe about 12 years old. And my dad would shoot reel-to-reel videos.
Yeah, I remember that.
and we had them stacked up. So I was the guy sitting at the dining room table, 12 years old, splicing the little ones and putting it on the big ones. I would just splice them together and put them all together. Then we put it in the attic. So we lost all of that. That's what I always think about when I think about losing a lot of great material. It's, as far as growing up as a kid, I would cut grass, I would go fishing, I would, you know, all those videos, all that's gone. Yeah.
I guess it's important for us all to remember at a time like this when so many memories are lost that really it's only the materialistic memories that are lost that we still have the memories in our minds. And I guess we have to revert to those memories in our minds and hearts even more because we don't have the tangible evidence of those memories.
And all we can do is tell stories about it, you know, because we had some videos of me marching in the band for the first time and just all my siblings, my grandmother, Miss Mildred Ruffin, she was the head chef at Lawless Senior High School, and I would be in the kitchen with her peeling up pecans for the plarines that we would make 100 for church on Sunday. We'd make 100 of those and 10 cakes, and I was the sous chef most of the time.
Wow. So was there a time when you were concerned that we would not make it back?
No, not at all.
Good.
Zero. Good. There's no way in the world that this city wasn't going to come back, of course. I still go to the lower Ninth Ward, and I still see a lot of empty lots everywhere. So my dream is to move back down there and die there.
Because that's home.
But not in the flood. Yeah. God.
Yeah. So do you have anything fresh, new you want to talk about?
Oh, I play at my bar every Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday at 6 to 8. That's always fun.
Yeah.
I'm barbecuing almost every day.
Oh, that's another thing that you're really into, barbecue. What's special about Kermit Ruffin's barbecue sauce?
Well, I think something about standing by the grill, it's just so family picnic-ish, if that's a word.
Do you think that no matter how socialized and evolved we are as human beings, When I think about grilling meat over an open fire, that it brings us back to almost like the caveman days.
Yes,
I mean it draws us back to like the families around and there's the man cooking the meat
right
that he went to go kill at the grocery store
right at the grocery store. It's something about showing off, standing by the grill with an apron on,
yeah,
before a Saints game or anytime. Something about it, the smell, it just brings back so many memories to the point where your head just starts running of nothing but joy and fun and love, family picnics.
But is there something special about the Kermit Ruffin's barbecue sauce?
No, not really. I hardly ever use sauce. I was lucky enough to cook on Bobby Flay, Andrew Zimmons, where I cooked turtle and raccoon. And I was lucky enough to hang out with Emeril. I played Emeril's wedding, and I played a lot of shows with Emeril across country where he would cook in people's living rooms, and my band would be set up. And Emeril would cook and talk, and I'll play a little music. Emeril would cook and talk, I'll play a little music. And we did about We did a lot of traveling during that show.
All right, what does raccoon taste like?
Delicious.
Yeah, seriously?
Just take it and boil it like some good old crab oil. Put everything you want, bell peppers, everything in there. And then at the end, you infuse it with a bunch of sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it's good.
And you drain it and slide it in the oven until it turns brown. And my God, delicious. With some good old yellow grits.
Well, you know, the only way I'd eat it is if you cooked it like you just described cooking.
That's
it.
That's the only way to
Kermit, look, have a great time Friday night. Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's live at the Orpheum Theater. It's the 29th, the anniversary of Katrina. Irma Thomas, Kermit Ruffins, my friend Amanda Shaw, Rockin' Doopsy Jr., who is a big fan of our show, Ella Grace Francis, Sarah Jane McMahon, and the Rebirth Brass Band, which you started in, 1982?
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So it's a 100% benefit event. All proceeds from this concert will go along with accompanying a live album and be donated to charities that are still supporting local families, because there are people who still need help from this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah. It's going to be nonstop. I mean, 20 years feels like it went like that.
Yeah,
and here
right.
we are, 20 years doing a big dedication. Come on down to the Orpheum. I'm looking forward to it.
You are looking great. You're sounding great. And thank you so much for taking time to get up and join us here in the studio.
Happy to be here.
All right. Kermit Ruffins. I'm Scoot, and we will come back with more. And we'll go to break here with Rebirth Medley from Kermit himself. And we'll be right back on WWL. Remembering Katrina 20 years later, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us this afternoon. And as we, again, as we talk about some of the sad things of the tragedy that followed Katrina, we also celebrate the victories of our comeback. And we're not still totally back. Even 20 years later, we're not totally back. There's still a lot of work to be done. There's still charities doing the job. So in the news, the man that we talked about yesterday who allowed his road rage to inspire him to use his gun and shoot somebody. I mean, imagine that. You know, you're raging. We all get mad at people on the road. But you're in a truck, you've got a gun, and you're so angry, you decide to take a gun and you shoot somebody. You shoot into a car, and you shoot a 17-year-old pregnant woman in the head. Caitlin Strait of Ponchatoula has been taken off life support. It was a family's decision. She's now going to become a donor hero. And they decided to do this so others can live. The man is now being charged with murder. This 54-year-old Barry West has got to wish he had to make that decision again. But sometimes in life, you don't have a chance to make a decision over again. You make a decision and you're stuck with it. And I remind you that no matter how PO'd you get at somebody in traffic, don't let that inspire you to do something stupid. And I talked about an incident that I had, you know, the other day with a guy. It wasn't bad and nothing happened, but the guy was road raging on me in a very minor way. And all I did was toot my horn at him and let him know that he did have the legal permission to go through the red light he was stopped at. And then when he didn't move, I simply went around him, and he got so outraged that he raced up beside me at the next stop sign, pulled up beside me in the other lane, and then zoomed ahead of me like I guess I got you back. Well, what this man doesn't know is I was just giving him a friendly toot that he had the right to go through the light that he was just stopped at. But that's a real minor example of road rage. But there are people who get so upset that they do something with their hands, they do something with a gun, that they can never take back. And I guarantee you, this guy, Barry West, 54 years old, you don't think he wants to make that decision over again? But he can't. And so just try to remember this. The baby was born emergency C-section. And as far as I know, the baby is still in neonatal intensive care, but I think the baby's doing fine. And at 7 months, babies can survive outside of the mother's body. And so we hope that the baby does fine, but the baby was delivered, but the mother is not going to make it, all because of road rage. All right, we've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. Conservative MAGA host Charlie Kirk. Now, look, I've talked about Charlie Kirk on the show before. He's the conservative wacko, and I call him a wacko. In my opinion, he's a wacko. You may love the guy, and that's okay, but I think he's kind of wacky. He's just so conservative that he's a little wacky when you get to be that conservative, in my opinion. This is the guy who criticized Taylor Swift, J-Lo, and Katy Perry because they didn't look or act their age. And I look at Charlie Kirk, and he looks older than he is because he's, well, he's just so boring and so damn conservative. I mean, you don't have to be boring if you're conservative. You don't, you know, but Charlie Kirk chooses to look the way he looks. I wouldn't bring up his looks other than the fact that he's bashing other people because of the way they look. Anyway, we've talked about him before. Now he's got some interesting advice for Taylor Swift, newly engaged, and we'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. There's a school shooting. Two children are dead and 17 are injured. 14 children and a couple of adults. And it's really sad. And this is a song about a school shooting. Let's see if you can outrun my gun, outrun my bullet. Listen to the lyrics of this. It's called Pumped Up Cooks, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People. And it's about outrunning a gun, outrunning a bullet at a school shooting. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Sad day on the Scoot on the Air calendar. It was on this day in 1990 in Wisconsin at the age of 35. Stevie Ray Vaughan died in a helicopter crash. Comedian Dennis Leary, in one of his comedy routines, said, "Too bad we couldn't get John Bon Jovi in that helicopter instead of Stevie Ray Vaughan. Come on, John, we've got some hairspray in here. Get in the helicopter." I'm Scoot on the Air. So Florida cities are now trying to save the rainbow crosswalks before the state deadline to remove them. Now, this is a big problem. This is an important issue. Let's get rid of those rainbow crosswalks because you know how dangerous they are. We'll be right back.